You know, this morning, we've got a few things I want to share, but one of the things that the Lord put in my heart was this right here, Matthew chapter 14. I want to look at verse 22. You know, in every part of our life, one of the things that we have to realize is, you know, we know Jeremiah 29:11. It says that God has a plan for our lives, a good plan, a plan to prosper you and bless you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But what happens is when you and I are making those steps to live this life of faith. And basically, faith is believing God, believing what He said, in His Word, growing in His Word, and then doing what He says, not because we're wanting to obey a bunch of rules, but because we know that there are rewards and blessings for honoring God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek or pursue Him. And so one of the things that I had to shift out of in my believing, you know, I grew up real religious in a religious environment, you know, a bunch of rules and regulations. And so, you know, we were kind of taught that God was going to zap you. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, or if you do this, you do that, man, God's just going to zap you, strike you dead, all that kind of stuff. But then I finally realized that God isn't in the zapping business. He isn't in the striking dead business. Now, there were, in the Old Testament, there were times when the people opened the door to that because they had the curse of the law going on. But one of the things you see now is the fact that now we are under grace and God is not trying to, He's not zapping us, in other words, all right? Now, of course, we know at the end of the age, there's going to be some judgment. And so we got to, you know, we live our lives for the Lord. We ain't got to deal with that stuff. That's not a concern of ours. But as we are growing, as we're walking, as we're pursuing our personal relationship with the Lord, we make mistakes. We make mess ups. We goof up. But one of the things that happens too many times is you think you're doing halfway good, and then when you mess up, then all of a sudden the enemy comes in, the devil comes in and starts speaking to your mind and telling you how you never got close in the first place. You were never on the right path in the first place. Well, I want to show you something this morning that I believe is going to help everyone out. It's going to help me out. Because you've got to know that you are closer to the destiny and the plans of God than you realize. And no matter how rough things look in your life right now, no matter how bad things are, I mean, there are so many areas of our life that can have tension, friction, or just flat out junk. You know, in the area of physical health. I mean, we fight stuff in our body, it wears us down, and we think, man, where is God? And why, you know, I'm putting the Word of God in the air of healing on me, in me, why aren't things happening? You know, there's a verse in Galatians 6:9 that says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." That word faint literally means to relax or just flat out get too tired and quit. And so one of the things with God is consistency. We, you know, it's not about these, you know, well, I'm gonna serve God in a quick burst and we try to be perfect, which nobody ever is, and we try to do what we think is best, and then when we mess up or we fumble around, we get so condemned and we get so, you know, and it's not conviction, it's condemnation. There's a big difference. Condemnation is from the devil. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the enemy's condemnation is to make you feel like you can't do it, to make you feel like you can never really, there's no point in even trying. All you'll ever be is just worthless. And that's just not the truth. And so I want to show you how close someone got to something major, and it looked like a failure happened, but it really wasn't. So, Matthew 14, verse 22, "Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up in the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening was come, He was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost!' And when they cried out for fear, But then immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, my first question I've got to ask is, how many in here has ever attempted to walk on water before? Anybody? Okay, you have. Was it frozen? Okay, all right, same here. See, I did too. I tried walking on water, and of course, you know, sadly, the water was not hard enough, and so, you know, it ended pretty badly, and so I don't try that anymore. It's just we don't live far enough north for walking on water. But I want you to see this right here, because of course, we know Jesus was up in the mountain praying, and he told the disciples, go across, I'll catch up with you. And of course, you know, for us never seeing someone walk on water or even you know, assuming the concept, I guess one of the first things that I would consider is, okay, he told us to go. You know, all of the guys with boats are like in the boat right now. And so how in the world is he going to get across? But you know, you got to admit that when you look at and study these disciples, man, they love God, they believe Jesus, but they weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. I mean, you could just obviously see that. And so anyhow, so here Jesus comes walking on the water. Matter of fact, one of the versions, one of the Gospels say that he almost passed them by. And so it says here that immediately he spoke out to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. Because that would freak you out. You know, you're rowing, you're trying to get across, it's windy, it's pretty bad, and then some dude is walking on the water. I mean, that'd be awkward, just a little awkward scenario there. Well, then it says in verse 28, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, that's a tall order. I mean, you have to admit, again, you know, Peter was quick with everything. He was quick with goofy comments, you know, at the Mount of Transfiguration where they're all praying and then the glory of God just opens up to them. And Jesus, it was kind of like dematerialized. He just started, you know, just was transfigured. And then you had some old prophets from back then just kind of appearing up there. And so all these disciples, they're just, I mean, it was pretty wild. I mean, they're just like astonished. You know, I was trained, and one of the things that, you know, if you've been in some of the, you know, spirit-filled things long enough, you're typically trained in a moment of awe, you just don't talk. You just receive, or you just soak it in. You don't say a whole lot. But old Peter and his goofiness, he had to say something. And typically, you know, when Peter opens his mouth, it's not really super highly intelligent. So the first thing he says is, Lord, let's make a tabernacle up here for each one of y'all. You know, and of course, Jesus is probably thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Kind of like when you're kids. You know, you're out someplace with your kids and, you know, you're trying to act or appear to be dignified or halfway like you're a really good, perfect parent, you know, and then all of a sudden your kid starts acting all goofy and stuff. And so I just quit doing that. I don't ever try to make people assume that I'm dignified or that I'm a perfect parent, because I promise you, your kids will show every time exactly what kind of crazy parent we are. But anyhow, so back to this right here. So Peter answers and says to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water to you. Now Peter knew it was him, because, I mean, it's obvious. They've been around Jesus for a little bit, so they kind of know what he looks like. I mean, you know, the first thing Jesus said was probably something they would assume Jesus said, fear not, fear not. You know, anytime God appeared to someone, rather in the Old Testament or the New Testament by an angel or by the Spirit of the Lord, every time the first thing that God always made sure to do was calm their fears. You know, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, one of the first things that he said to her was, fear not. And the reason why is because the devil can manifest. You know, the enemy can manifest, and of course, you know, if there's one thing the devil loves to foster in us is fear. You know, fear is the opposition of faith. Faith is believing what God says, but fear is believing what the enemy is saying. And the enemy can say it through society, he can say it through your impulses, through your feelings. You know, there's been many times where even the five senses try to get in your way. You know, a while back I was driving down the road, And man, I could smell rubber burning. And I'm thinking, oh man, it's probably one of my belts. And so I could smell it. And then there was some noise. So I'm right beside this vehicle. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and keep on driving. I figured if the belt breaks, the belt breaks. You know, you lose power. Or if the power steering pump stops, I'll just pull over before it gets too hot. Well, so I'm going past this 18-wheeler. And about the time I, I pass him up, I realize, oh, it's his belt. It's all the rubber from his engine. And so I thought, oh, praise God, all right. So see, all this fear is trying to get all over me, and it wasn't even my vehicle after all. And so again, we have to guard ourselves from our five senses trying to dictate our belief system to us. Now you got to admit, these guys were seeing some things in this story. They were seeing wind, they were seeing waves, and all of a sudden they're seeing Jesus. So Peter says, is it really you? If it is, command me to come out on the water. You know, King James says, bid me come. In other words, all you have to do is you give me verbal permission, and I know that I can do this. Now I honestly, if Jesus comes walking on the water, my reality is this. You know, Jesus, come on over, jump in the boat, let's communicate. But as far as, you know, and it's cool and all, but I have no desire to go out there. I mean, no other disciple, all these disciples in the boat, and nobody else, you know, has the urge to jump out, walk on the water, but Peter. And so that's just him. And so Jesus, of course, verse 29, so he said, come. And Peter had come down and out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately he stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, I want to just share a couple of points in this passage right here, because I think sometimes we look at it and we see the failure of Peter to walk on the water. Well, the reality is, yes, in the end, he did begin to sink. But the truth is, he did walk on the water. And so many times we look for, you know, we're always looking for the moral of the story is, da-da-da-da-da, yes, you started to sink. Well, no, that's not the end that God wants us to see. What he wants us to see is, I believe, what actually happened at the end. And if you look down here at the end, in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. How many of you know who or what Stretch Armstrong? You ever heard of Stretch Armstrong? Now see, I stretch, you know, that little doll thingy that you stretch him out and just keeps on going. You know, there was a cartoon, I don't know if it was Stretch Armstrong, but it was a you know, part of the Super Friends back in the day. You know, I'm young. I'll be 47 next month, but I'm a young man. And so back in the, you know, Super Friends, they had this little stretchy guy, and he'd stretch out his hand, Elastic Man, there you go. And he had a son that was a bouncing kid. Y'all, does that ring a bell, anybody? Okay, all right, I'm all right, I'm here. All right, and so anyhow, you know, Stretch or Elasto Man or Stretch Armstrong, he could stretch out his hands really, really far. And so basically, like if Peter, if Jesus, you know, was like way over here, like over here by the door, and Peter was over by that door, you know, and that's where Peter began to sink, you know, Stretchy Man, Elasto Man, or whoever he is, he could stretch out and reach out there, get Peter by the hand, and pull him back. But how many of you realize that Jesus was not and is not Stretch Armstrong? So when it says that he stretched out his hand to lift him up or to keep him from sinking, that tells us that he was only an arm's length away. Peter was an arm's length away. In other words, Peter had done the impossible. He had already walked whatever span that Jesus was. He walked that distance. And he was so close when he began to sink that Jesus was close enough to reach out his hand and grab us. Now the crazy thing to think about is the reality that if he got that far, now I don't know really how far the boat was compared to where Jesus was, but you got to admit, he wasn't like right here and then right here, or else it would be no big deal. I mean, they would have known who he was. Who? Is that you, Jesus? It's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. Well, if it's really you, I mean, I could see Janie on the front row. Really, seriously, I can. And I could see all the way to the back rows. So again, the distance had to be more than a couple of arm's lengths, or else they wouldn't be able to see each other or verify who they really are. Because again, Peter asked him, if it's real. Now, I think he knew who it was again. But what I'm saying was, Peter had made some distance. Peter had been walking on the water, I don't know how far, but far enough. But the Bible says right here that he began to look at the wind and the waves. The word look, the word saw, literally has in the Greek, the understanding was he shifted his attention from Jesus to the wind and the waves. So in other words, he was so close. He didn't even, you know, honestly, if I was arm's length from Jesus, it's hard to think about walking on the water, but if you think about it, if you're that close to Jesus, man, I feel like a dog panting, I'm almost there, I'm like right here. He was right there, but he began to sink. Why? Because he looked at the problem. He looked at the things that were always trying to get his attention. It was there the whole time. I mean, when Jesus came on the water, there was waves. There was wind, but yet Peter had the guts to just go ahead and get at, as long as he had a word from God, as long as there was a word, he knew he could do the impossible. You know, when Mary, encountered the angel Gabriel, and he's telling her, well, you're going to have a baby and without a husband and all that kind of stuff, and it's just blowing her mind. And she's saying, well, how can these things be? I haven't been with a man. And so Gabriel tries to explain to her, my kids asked me the other day to explain the biology of reproduction. Well, I told them that's science for another day. That's for another day. We had to recently tell them certain things because, when they see things happen out in the country, hey, that's fine. They're trying to get a piggyback right on that cow. Yeah, son, that's exactly what. So finally, I had to just, all right, guys, listen. Before we moved out of our place in Quinlan, driving down the road and there's two dogs and, hey, look, Dad, look at those two dogs. And I'm like, okay, they're not fighting. This is what's happening. And so Keezy was just grateful that she wasn't in the car whenever I was there. And so where that came from, I don't know. But all that being said, yeah, the science of reproduction. And so, Gabriel tried to tell Mary, well, this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And this is what's going to happen. And the seed is going to be in you. And so I don't think she got it all. But what she did say was very simply this. Be it unto me, even as you have said. In other words, you know what? You can stop right there. I'll just take you at your word. Well, fast forward over here, Peter, all he needed was just one word from Jesus, who the Bible calls living word. And as long as he got a word from God, no matter how ugly or impossible the situation looked, he knew that he can get by or take care of everything that's going on. Everything will be all right if he had a word. So he steps out of the boat. His eyes are fastened to Jesus, who is living word. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So his eyes were fastened, but then it says he saw the wind boisterous. In other words, he had to shift his attention from God's Word to the problem. How many times have we shifted our attention from the truth of God's Word to the problem? Maybe the bad report, maybe the bills or the finances, or maybe the crazy things that our kids may do, or, we had a memorial service here yesterday for Keys' grandmother, and she went home, if you didn't know, she went home to be with the Lord Tuesday morning, and she was ready. She'd been begging to die for 2 weeks now, 3 weeks, just saying, she said, why can't I just die? I'm like, all right, well, you want to go home? You can go home. And so finally she went home. And so, Keezah, and I won't embarrass you too much. I thought I had crazy family, but praise God, I'm not the only one with crazy family. So anyhow, so I say all that to say, your attention could be on your crazy kinfolk. Moonoos have crazy sides. I'll just be real honest with you. It's just strange, but I feel better now. I do. I really, because for years before this was like public or known, I didn't know. You always try to put your best foot forward when it comes to things. And so I tried, when we first got married, I tried to protect my wife from my family. I'm like, I got some crazy, we'll limit our time here, limit our time there, and we'll be okay. Well, she didn't reciprocate. So anyhow, I'm just kidding. I love them. They're good folk. But everybody's got them. And so all that being said, you can easily shift your attention to your family. You know, you got family that maybe they hurt you, maybe they offended you. You know, in my life, the biggest hurts that I've experienced, honestly, were pastors. You know, one of my pastors growing up, you know, and do I have to forgive? I forgive. I've had to. But again, if my attention stays on things and on them and on my emotions and hurts, you know, what so-and-so did, or what, then my eyes can't be on the truth of the Word of God. Well, likewise, Peter did the same thing. Something was happening out here that got his attention, and he shifted. He got his eyes completely off of Jesus or living Word and transferred it onto the problem. He saw the wind boisterous. That word boisterous means a lot of commotion. You know, the enemy's always going to try to put commotion into your life. Because, you know, Matthew chapter 13 talks about of the parable of the sower sowing the word. You know, one of the first things the enemy tries to do when the Word of God is placed on the inside of you, or when you take the Word of God in, he's got to get you off track. You know, he's got to steal. The Bible says he comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. People say, well, man, ever since I started, you know, really getting on fire for the Lord, I got all kind of attack. Well, it's real simple. Anytime you get closer to the prize, the enemy's got to defend with everything he has. And whenever you and I get a hold of the Word of God, that makes us a dangerous person in the eyes of your enemy. Because the Bible calls the Word of God the sword. The sword. So back to this right here. So it says here that he began to sink and he cried out for help. And of course, Jesus reached down and he grabbed him, picked him up. One of the biggest things that I want you to see, and this is what I had to see, is how close we are when we give up sometimes. We really don't realize how close we really are when we quit the Word. In other words, we know that the Bible talks about the only way to release your faith is by believing it in your heart and speaking it out of your mouth. But you know, many times we'll see that's how you got saved. That's how you got saved. The same way you got saved, by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Why would God have several different operations when faith has one, and that is believing the Word of God and decreeing it out of your mouth and making a faith declaration? But you see, sometimes we'll have heard something. We think we have it in our heart. Maybe we do have it in our heart, and we'll start declaring it, and nothing seems to happen. Well, the truth is we are closer, you are closer than you could ever imagine. You know, when we're not looking at the Word, we think we're not there. You know, Peter didn't realize how close he was, because if I knew I was that close to Jesus and started to sink, there's no, you wouldn't either. You wouldn't cry out for help. I mean, all you'd have done was, I mean, real simply, even if you were sinking, if he's right there, you always try to save face in front of your fans. Man, if it were me, I'd be like, oh, hey, I did it. You know, grabbed hold of him and, you know, pulled him down or whatever, you know. I'd have grabbed hold of him. I'd have done something to save face and make it look like I did it, because he got so darn far. But it seems like whenever we're not looking, keeping our attention on the truth of the Word of God, then in the areas that you need, the areas of healing, the areas of finances, the areas of peace in our minds, the areas of family, if we don't keep those things right in front of our eyes, then the enemy will capture our attention with all the circumstances and situations that are going on around us. And when we're that close, we may give up, cave in, and quit, and miss it. The last statement Jesus makes right here is in the end of verse 31. It says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now I want you to see this, and I'll close with this. Jesus wasn't reprimanding him because of the fact that he didn't believe him, because he did believe him. He took him at his word. He got out of the boat. The reality was, I believe that Jesus said this because you were so close. Man, why did you doubt? Why did you let go? Why did you cave in to the pressure of the wind, to the noise of the wind and the splashings of the wind? I know it's there. I know the situation in your life is bad, but look how close you really are. Man, if you would just not give up, cave in, and quit, gosh, you are right there. But again, we're looking at the problem and we're not looking at the truth. You see, when you look at the truth, when you look at the problem, it seems so distant from your help. Your help looks so far away. Whenever you're looking at the problem, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. But so many times when we're not staring the Word down, when we don't have it getting on the inside of our eyes, inside of our ears, we seem so distant from the end result of the promise that we just think, you know what, I'm too far. I've got to go to plan B. I've got to do plan B. Instead of living by faith, I got to go with plan B because, man, it could take a long time. It could take a long time before I get any results. Listen, you're closer than you realize to the promise. You're closer to God doing what He said He would do than we realize. The problem is real simple, is us not staring down the Word, not giving God's Word our attention and looking at the problem instead of God's Word. Listen, I believe that you and I are closer than we think to the things in God's Word that you are believing for. Are you believing to be debt-free? Man, I'm telling you, we're closer. We're closer. You dealing with sickness in our bodies, we're closer. We're closer than we ever realize. If we'll just stay with the Word of God, things will begin to change. Let's stand. You know, there's a lot of planning for different things that we do, but then there's some things you just can't plan for. You know, we're getting ready to do a Belize trip in April. And, you know, usually for before those trips, I try to, not that I exercise a whole lot, but I try to, because we do a lot of walking on the island. There aren't any paved streets, so it's like walking, all the streets are sand. And so, I mean, it's pretty tough. And then, you know, I do all the luggage lugging, it seems like. And so before these trips, you gotta go through immigration, you gotta throw your luggage on a boat, you gotta get it off the boat, it's real, real physical. And so you could plan for stuff like that because you know ahead of time, but then there's things that pop up that you just can't plan for. But in truth, if you stay on top of keeping your heart filled with the Word of God, you can, no matter what happens, your reactions will be right. You know, the other day I was getting ready to drive to the meeting up at Eagle Mountain. I went outside and I cranked my pickup so that it'll be warm up. You know, I don't like cold vehicles, you know. And I don't have the heated seats. My next vehicle's gonna have the heated seats. That's a gift from God. And the heated steering wheel, man, we were in a car the day with a heated steering wheel. I was laying my face on that heated steering wheel. It was wonderful. You know, that is a God idea. But I went outside, cranked the truck, went back up in the hotel, had breakfast. And listen, I'll just say right now, My first thought that hit me was, man, you're right there beside 35, man. What if somebody just jumps in your truck and heads up 35 with your pickup? And I thought, that would be great. And so it's got full coverage. But anyway, and so it's all about vehicle replacement. And so anyhow, so when I got back out there, I'm pretty sure it was an hour later. About an hour. And so went out there, man, the truck was all squealing, making all kind of noise, and then something smelled funny, so I popped the hood real quick, and I looked down there, and sure enough, one of the alternator bolts is almost ready to drop. And I thought, oh, man. But, you know, I closed the hood. I didn't have my tool. I just got rid of my socket set out of my truck, and it was weighing down my toolbox. So got rid of a few things, and I thought, well, I don't want to mess with that right now. I got my suit on, and I'm all dressed up, and I thought, well, I'm going to just drive over to the shop and just tell them I'll drop it off, see if they'll just run me up the road to the meeting, and I'll Uber back or something. I got friends, they'll drive me back. And so I wasn't too upset. You know, usually I get ticked off or upset or, oh my God, you know, ruin your day, whatever. And so I pull up to the shop, and the guy comes out there, looks at it, and he says, give me a few minutes, let me look at this. And so 15 minutes later, comes back, your truck's out front, it's all taken care of, it's all done. Didn't even charge me, asked me if I can pay for him. He said, no big deal. I felt proud, I was proud of myself. You know, I felt like, you know what, I grabbed the hand of Jesus and I didn't sleep that morning. But the reason why is because I'm starting to make sure that I fill up on the Word of God more than I ever have. You know, we are not created for defense. We are created for offense. We're not created to defend ourselves from the devil. We're created to get in his face and show him who runs the place. But if you and I aren't keeping ourselves in the Word, we'll get weak. And so our responses are determined by what's on the inside of us. I believe it's time for us to make sure that we're on top, that we are full of the Word, that we are staring at the Word, and that is the bottom line. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your Word today, and we thank you that, Lord, I know many of us in here, we are closer than we realize. Lord, I know that sometimes we, as we are standing on your Word and believing for different things, believing for promotion, advancement, for health, for increase, that for whatever it is, God, it seems like we may have been waiting for a long time. And Father, there's sometimes where we get tempted to quit and tempted to let up and to give it a rest for a little while and go to plan B. But Lord, today we realize that we are closer than we ever were to the promise. Closer than we ever were to the manifestation of the words that you said in our lives. And so today, Lord, we resolve to not give up. We make the choice to keep going. God, I know you've got greater things planned for our lives that maybe we haven't been experiencing just yet. And today, Father, no matter how dreary or gloomy things have been, God, I know that joy and hope and expectation are just around the corner. And so this morning, Lord, we choose to stay on top of things. We choose to stay walking. We choose to keep our eyes on the truth of the promise. We choose to keep our eyes on the Word of God and not look at the problems around us. God, there's tons of stuff around us. We could easily get upset. We could easily get down. But Lord, today, we choose to hang on and to not give up, cave in, and quit. And Father, I thank you that we will see. Your Word says we will see the manifestation of the Word of God. Because, Lord, your Word says that you are not a man that you could lie. And so, Father, today, we thank you for a greater resolve in our lives in Jesus' name. Very, very simply this morning, I'm just going to ask you, if you felt like you have at the point of giving up, caving in, and quitting, or maybe you know you have, I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and make a declaration of our faith. You know, a lot of times when we're on the verge of giving up, we lose our joy. We lose our joy of serving the Lord. We lose our joy of the vision that God gave us back in the day. You know, this week was about God stirring up the things He's already spoken to me. About stirring up the vision and the plans that He's already given. And I believe that, man, I had to get stirred back up myself and get my eyes back on things. But if that's you, if you maybe you've started leaning toward plan B instead of believing the Word of God, then I want you just to pray this prayer out with me out loud. Father, in Jesus' name, today I choose not to quit. Lord, I know I'm close to every promise manifesting in my life. I can't see it with my natural, but I believe it with my heart. So today, I choose to only give attention to the truth and to ignore the lie in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that I do have patience. And as I exercise my patience, it will grow. I can believe. I can walk out. Miracles. Blessings. Increase. And healing. In my life. So today. I choose. To keep believing. And Father. I fully expect. Everything your Word says. To come to pass in my life. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I believe that as we begin to get our eyes off of those problems, because see, those problems will rob you of faith. Fear robs you of faith. And as we get our eyes, our attention back on the truth of the Word, we will see those things that we have been believing for, things that we are pressing for, not just in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones, they'll begin to manifest as well. Amen. Amen.